korkun oku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Дадаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. You asked for mayhem. Mayhem is always going to be here as long as you're free. But it's going to be an amazing show. We also have Kelvin
Mayhem or
Gastelum,
Jordy
calling in. My man Kelvin's going to be here. I want to thank Speedweed. Listen, marijuana is legal in California, so don't leave your house to get it. You go to a dispensary. It's like a Walmart now on Black Friday. People are fighting. There's it's crazy. All right, get it delivered. Speedweed will take care of it. Me and my wife, we use the THC sex lube.
Yeah.
Definitely amazing, high quality. They have edibles. They have whatever you need. Mention Roasted, $10 off, $100 or more. Also, I got to talk to you about, Santa Cruz Medicinals. Okay, they make deep sleep capsules, and adaptogenic mushroom capsules to help you sleep. Okay, I definitely need that because
adaptogenic.
Yes, because I have trouble sleeping. They have MCT oil and coconut oil. You put it in your coffee. You get CBD. You could get a post workout shake. They got a potent dose of CBD. Check out their products at scmedicinals.com. Use the code ROASTED for 10% off and free shipping. Highly recommend. Let's talk about last week. After the show, I think it was two Tuesdays ago, we did a show at the Dime Bar. And very nice. I was like, Mayhem, want to do comedy at the Dime Bar? You showed up. And it was awesome doing comedy with you, man.
Got some laughs.
You got some laughs.
I mean, I fucking did great, bro. I was a standing ovation.
Fucking killed it, bro.
Well, there were no seats.
I'm like Baby Dane cooking this bitch.
People were running for the rat. So that was awesome. First of all, it's like a small room. It's like holds like 25 people. So it's a great place to work out new stuff. And I was surprised because I was like, hey, do you want to do stand-up? And I was a little, I'm like, am I pressuring you to do it? I don't want to like put that shit on you. It's the worst thing you want is someone to do comedy who does not really. And you were like, no, I did an open mic the night before.
Yeah, I did.
Which was, I was like, okay.
Well, yeah, I'm working some shit out. It's actually coming together. I mean, I'm no Brendan Schwab, but I mean, I've definitely got some skills.
And then you said that you had gotten laid right before, which is, you were like walking kind of funny towards the stage.
I must have caught something or I don't know.
You said
we're gonna have to get over to the fucking doctor down the street and get a full checkup.
What are those guys?
I needed some THC oil lube.
Yeah.
Or some shit. Like, tell your wife to
share
that shit. Yeah.
You don't have any more samples?
Come on, bro.
Of course. Yeah. I actually sometimes think about bringing it with me on the road.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, what if I get busted with this? Like, how sad? But but it's all.
It's like unpacking the suitcase.
Yeah, yeah. So no, but it was cool doing comedy with you.
It's like soy sauce.
I felt bad because I wanted you to tell that story, and I was like yelling it out while you were on stage.
Yeah. Like I didn't prepare the story. Like, and then you tried to tell the story and it bombed too. Like, I'm just like, oh, okay. Okay, well, I'm glad that a professional comedian who's a fucking gangster at this shit also fucked this story up. Because, I told the story and it was just crickets. It's a bunch of damn.
Well, you kind of said the punchline before. The story was.
You're right.
But he went to Japan to fight in Pride.
Yeah.
He asked the people, hey, make sure you guys get. I want to get Japanese girls dressed up as schoolgirls for the thing. But they got actual Japanese schoolgirls.
So the girls 11 were 11 years old.
Yeah, they were like 12.
Yeah.
And so then he gets. And then his corner's like, I think that one girl's looking at me during his fight.
Bro, she's not.
Yeah, so
I mean, the age of consent in Japan, who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? So that was the story, which I thought was hilarious. But it was good. You did a bunch of jail jokes. You said, I just got out. And I think people didn't know if you were actually kidding or not. But it was good.
It's all jokes.
It was good. So anyway, after that, I flew to, I had a crazy week. I had to do a show in the military. I flew from LA to Miami to the Bahamas. Did a show. I didn't even know we had bases in the Bahamas, which was.
I didn't either.
Yeah, if you're stationed,
cool.
I would want to be stationed in the Bahamas.
I knew Hawaii. Hawaii is a big one for Marines, but I had no idea we had.
It was mostly Air Force. Then back to Miami, back to a different base in the Bahamas, back to Fort Lauderdale, back to Baltimore, to Greenland. and then did a show in Greenland, which I didn't know that we had a base there either. We do. We have there's like 100 troops in Greenland that the U.S. has, and it's night. All it's like nighttime.
100
3 months around there. It's like awesome. It's like 99 dudes and like one girl. I'm like, this is like fucking bachelorette here. But they actually took us to this room and showed us. Like, basically, it's like three dudes like this looking at a monitor and watching to see if missiles are coming in from Europe. All like to see. It's just three guys. I'm like, I've never felt less safe in my life. Wow. But there's never been a missile.
Who's going to bomb us? Lithuania?
They're just, I don't understand. They're really good at their jobs.
Yeah.
They never fall asleep.
And then they were like, do you have any questions? Because the last question guys asked us where we hide the aliens. So I thought that was actually kind of funny.
Wait, is that our only defense against missiles is dudes watching a monitor in like some base?
But there's like 10 bases around the world that we have.
And so everybody's watching
there's
the
like,
monitor.
Yeah. There's like 18 guys.
Yeah. There's like one dude like in a security closet like, hey, we got a missile coming over here. Somebody run.
No, and then the guy showing me the tour was named was an Asian guy named Officer Bang.
Way, dude.
Yeah, so I wanted to be like, meet the gang, Bang. Like I had all these fucking jokes for him.
Lieutenant Bang.
And I was like, you know, during the show, I'm like, when you're behind him, are you like, what's my name? Bang. And it's like, it was hilarious. But then,
Was it at least like B-H-A-N-G?
No, it was, or was it just straight up bang? It was a straight bang. So that was pretty cool. Like, the shows itself were awesome. Officer Bang was there. And then we had one night in Miami, me and the comics, so we had an overnight. So I was like, you know what? We had the night off. So I knew a guy. There was a strip club right next to our hotel.
But Greenland, we're talking.
No, in Miami.
Oh, Miami.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? If you guys want to go to a strip club, I have a friend named DJ Platypus, right? Who,
it's a perfect
and he's a
DJ
in Miami at Tootsie's, which is like the best strip club in Tootsie's, right? Like, I mean, strip club in like Miami. Brought the guys over and, but it's different when you're married going to a strip club versus when you're single. When you're single, you can pull girls. And
for
like
sure. This, well, that. You don't. I mean, I'm not going to talk about it.
Well, talk about it.
I was going to say you don't feel bad about it when you're single. Well, like, when you go and you're married or like in a relationship, you're like, okay.
Well, I know. And like, I knew my wife like, wouldn't want me to be there. I'm here. I'm not going to call and be like, hey, it's okay if I go to a strip club. Because she'll say, no.
Better to ask for forgiveness than permission, dude. Always.
Right. And then a part of me felt like, yeah, no, I'm home with the baby right now. And blah, blah, blah. So I like went and my friends bought me a lap dance, but I didn't take it because I promised my wife I wouldn't get a lap dance.
You just gave her the money. So
no,
I gave it to somebody else.
I gave it to the guy who bought it. I'm like, you take it, right? So then we go back to I go back home and my wife says and the problem is I have shared locations on my phone.
Nice.
And
she's cyber stalking your strip club
movements.
She's
like, this motherfucker. Oh,
that's good though. But you didn't get a lap dance, so she got like GPS on your dick.
Well, no, but we did like what happened was I accidentally shared locations, but now if I take it off, so know something's up.
Accidentally.
So
huh?
Now I can't. So then I come back home and I'm lying there with my wife and she's like, you know, something came up. She's like, like, speaking of you not telling the truth, and then my leg started shaking, and then then it was something completely different. And then she goes, what did you do? And I was like, nothing. And I started like turning. I'm like, I'm going to bed. Like, I made it so.
Oh yeah.
She's like, what
just
did you
silent.
Do? She's like, what did you do? I'm like, I didn't do anything. She's like, did you dance with a girl? I'm like, no. Did you go to a strip club? Exactly. And I'm like,
damn, on the second try.
Huh? And I don't want to lie. I fucking hate it. So I was like, yeah, I went to a strip. Fine, I went to a strip club, but I didn't get a lap dance. And then I was, like, and then she, I'm like, but the other guys were like smacking girls' asses. I was hitting them with dollar bills. Like,
but the other guys, were doing it.
She's you like, were there.
But she's like, what are you, Tekashi? Are you fucking snitch? Like, what are you snitching on? She called me Tekashi.
69
right?
on your face.
So then it was just one of those things. Where I was telling her like, oh, no, I just went up to, which I did. I was actually handing the dollar bills to the girls.
Oh, here you go.
So anyway, so that was.
You gotta use thank you. Intermediary
thank you for your service.
From now on.
But my wife was cool about it. She's like, why don't you just, I go, you're hot. Listen, you're hotter than all the strippers. And if you were up there, I would have made it rain. And she goes, yeah, with divorce papers. And I'm like, she was just killing me, dude. It's fucking killing me.
Burn.
So that was my, whatever. But we're cool. We it was a little bit of an argument, but she was happy.
How long did this argument go on? Was it worth the strip club
20
time?
20 minutes, 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I
totally
feel like she
it.
Has to understand that you're in this world of like young single dudes and now you're the married guy. but you can't, you still got to be kind of cool. So you got to like lead the way.
That's what I said. I go, I don't want to be the only guy who's like, I can't go because my wife won't let me. Like, I just,
yeah, you know, I,
you don't want to be that guy. That.
Well, but I feel like that's the guy who's like a cheater or like a pedophile. Like, that's the guy with like fucking secrets.
No, you want to be the cool older married dude that gives the little bits of advice throughout the night where you're like, well, I don't do that if I already
slap
slow
a
down
on with that
like,
one.
Yeah, right?
You know what I mean? Like this kind of stuff. Got to guide these young gentlemen.
Every group needs that guy.
It is a gentleman's club.
It's a hero.
Well, that's why I didn't want to go there and just so I went there and it was fine. You're right. I did ask for forgiveness, but for permission. But I just I can't stand being the guy who has to ask for permission to do stuff from your wife. I've always felt like those guys were weird. And at the same time, my wife, she handled it pretty well. Like she didn't get mad. She goes, I don't care if you go to strip clubs. I'm like,
but
I'm
it was
not
an
going.
Hours worth of bickering, right? And you're taking up 10 minutes of the podcast crying about
you told
your
me
wife
to write this shit down. You told me to be more organized. This is part of the organization.
All right.
So, but here's the thing, I was like. She's like, well, how do I know if you didn't tell me about this? How do I know that you're not doing other things and having a secret girlfriend?
Oh, God.
And I'm like, or having
slippery slope.
And I'm
you
like,
you know what, man? You're impeached. You're getting impeached right now.
What do you mean? I'm getting impeached.
I think your wife is
she's
filing
impeaching
an inquiry.
You.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I'm like, do you really think if I had a girlfriend, I would tell you if I had a about this? Like, why would I?
Well, yeah, but the thing was, you weren't upfront about it. You didn't like.
That's what she says. But she's like, I'm like, listen, I don't have a private life. I don't have a private girlfriend. I don't cheat on you. But then I go. The problem is, I go. I have a category of things that I'm not going to tell my wife because it'll just be.
I'm going to stop you right there. In my experience with women. And it's thorough. that's like lying by omission. So like in their mind, you're omitting that because you got something to hide.
But isn't that?
But no. I'm just gonna stop you right there and admit that if you tell her, then it's just even more piling on. There's no way to win this. This is what I'm saying to you: is that
correct.
You're just in the fucking hellscape that is marriage, and you'll never get out of it. Till you're fucking divorced, and then you're going through the fucking custody battle every day, and then I'm sorry, I'm being kind of negative about this,
but
I'm just telling you that like you can't win.
But
bro.
Isn't there a
just
category
give up.
Of things?
Like,
but
just
sometimes
give up, bro.
The way I was looking at it was like there's a category of like, all right, this is not cheating, and this is not like. I'm not fucking around. At the same
so
time, if
the,
I tell her,
it's weighing,
gonna be way more of a fucking problem.
Am I gonna get the argument for not telling her sometime, maybe eventually, or do I tell her and know
well,
that there's an
happens.
Argument
exactly.
coming?
There's no winning until
the,
you
so
cut
so it's like
dick
it's like ripping the Band-Aid off. Like fuck
well, here's
it.
What the
I want to
what happened was. I went to what happened was Hendo came to my show, Dan Henderson.
Beautiful.
And he's like, this is my wife was 8.5 months pregnant. And afterwards in Vegas, he goes, hey, we're going to a strip club. I'm having an after party on a party bus. And I'm like, fucking Dan Henderson. And like, you know,
yes.
What's his name? Aljamain Sterling.
Absolutely.
And this one was there. And all these people and Gian Vellante.
100% you go.
So I went.
100%.
Now, I didn't tell my wife because she's 8.5 months pregnant. But on the way to driving her to give birth, there was like they were talking about the stuff on Howard Stern. I'm like, oh, strip clubs aren't even that good. When was the last time you went? I was like, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. And then she started crying.
And went into labor?
Yeah, but I figured that like that would be.
You told her why she was in labor?
No.
Or you sent her into labor?
While I was driving, her water was like, while I was driving for her to give birth. Like, so then that became a thing of like, she started crying, but I'm like, well, you know what? I'm like, this will be way more pain. Labor will be more painful than what she's in now. So maybe that'll counteract the anger.
Just get it all out.
Yeah. And then I was like, then my excuses were like, but babe, you know, you were pregnant and my body was in pain. So here's the thing. I didn't get a lap dance. Some people were buying. I go, but I did get a massage. Like I got one, but not like in the back
not
room.
A dick massage.
No, but like, you know, those ladies, they don't even, they're not strippers. They
like
come
a Thai massage lady.
They give you like elbow massages
oh,
while
yeah.
you're sitting there. Well, try explaining that to your wife who's about to give, because it just became like, why would you get a massage? I was stressed. I was the one carrying your fucking baby for 8 hours. And it just became, oh God. So,
man,
the strip club was
still married.
The strip club was a sore subject.
It's a miracle.
Anyway, how are you doing?
I ain't going to no strip club, so I feel all right.
What's going on with you?
Everything, nothing. I mean, something. I'm here.
Thank you.
When's the book coming out?
I got to ask you. So last time, Hector Lombard on the show, yeah, right? Who's the biggest fan ever. By the way, thanks for all the comments, Bub. I'm only here for mayhem. Someone wrote, even Hector's only here for mayhem. And then someone else wrote, I'm only here for Adam. Just kidding, mayhem. Now people are just fucking being total dicks. Thank you, cool, fans, cool, for letting me know that you're only here for me. I appreciate that. So he said, hey, go do this, do that, bare knuckle boxing. And you said, hey, I'm kind of having a difficult time right now with the yeah, with the sobriety and just transition.
Readjusting to the world, bro.
But what did you mean by that?
What do you mean? Okay, let me put you in your bathroom for a year and then let you out. No phone, nothing. Just like a shitty television that you got to stare at through a... You know,
I get NBC. Why, but like exactly like what's going on?
Well, because all right, so you know when you go to the damn, you know your wife tell you go get cereal, mm-hmm, and then you go to the cereal aisle, and then you just like realize that there's so many types of cereal, mm-hmm, and that little bit of anxiety. Now multiply that by a billion, and you have a little bit of what I'm going through.
So right,
because
now,
like now there's so much stuff to do. There's so many like things to decide and. You know, the whole world's becoming open to me as people realize that I'm like sane now and like a normal guy. You know, it's like I have all these opportunities presented to me, and it's difficult to like, you know, kind of like choose your path. It's a good problem to have, but it's a problem nonetheless. Like, I think that reintegrating into society after a long absence from it is more difficult than people, you know, realize. And, you know, it's my hope. And right now I'm helping a lot of guys who are going through that same process. It's helping me to help them because, you know, the recidivism rate is really high because once you get used to standing in front of your door and getting your food and get like just being a damn, you know, kind of a leech on society, it's hard to go back, you know, hard to go back to like being a normal human. And I, you know, that's what I'm going through. You know, it's getting easier every day, every week, and it is cool.
Now,
but the reality is, bro, is that this is a damn tough trend. I'm a totally different person than 2 months, 3 months ago.
Do you feel in a way that you've missed out on life? Like life's kinda...
Of course. But, you know, that's my own damn fault. You know, if I wasn't acting like a madman, destroying my entire house, you know what I mean? Fighting with the cops, like, I wouldn't have had to go through that. But... You know, our society has some damn rules. We live in a society.
Are friends helping you out?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, undoubtedly. If you know, you especially, you know, and a bunch of people with Pillars Recovery, which is a place that I work with now, that they have really been instrumental in my success. You know, this type of, you know, nobody gives a shit about a dude who's a criminal, but they forget that these guys are human beings. Mm-hmm. And, like, they have... some greatness in them. Everybody does. And if you can harness that and like bring it back to the forefront instead of all that bad behavior that, you know, feeds into this negativity, you know, you can help people rise up and all of society rises up, but no one gives a shit.
Everyone does. People do that. But here's why I get nervous for you. Because, okay, so you came over to help coach wrestling and we had a great time. You were a fantastic coach. I mean, you were so patient.
I love the kids, man. I love the coach.
So patient, so good. But afterwards, I'm like, hey, come inside. Let's get some food, right? Well, in my house. We're in my house and you're meeting my baby and playing with people here and everything's great. Now, I have a wacky neighbor, right? My neighbor, I mean, when I say wacky, like just next
across
level.
The street.
Across the street, yeah, yeah.
What's their ethnicity?
So she's white. All right. So, but
Jewish.
That's
but
for sure. She's constantly lets her baby, who's 2 years old, naked, running around the front yard, which is bad for like 100 different reasons. Number one, there's pedophiles out there. Like the kid's too old to be naked. Like why is the kid? Just all kinds of shit, right?
Really?
So,
too?
So I'm talking to. It just
can't
yeah.
Even talk.
Doesn't matter. It's a boy. It just doesn't.
Bruh, little
also,
dick.
Also, if it's a girl, it's okay. It
listen, little dick swinging in the fucking breeze, bro.
It's not.
It was disturbing. He warned me about it, and I still wasn't mentally
so
prepared
over,
to see a little uncircumcised dick swinging in the wind.
But she's super nice, and she's sweet.
Is she, though?
Okay, she's nice enough, okay, and normal, but at the same time, it's one of those things where you're like, this person maybe what? So I look over and I'm like, oh shit, the fucking kid's naked again. Because his kid's like 8 hours outside naked. Oh, so Mayhem goes, she comes to the door, and Mayhem comes out and goes, put some clothes on that kid, right? And I'm
just, I can't help it, bro. I'm a confrontational person,
right?
If it was his daddy out there with the dick swinging in the wind, I would have told him put some goddamn pants on.
Of course. So she goes, "Who are you?" And you go, "Mayhem." And I'm like, so now I'm like,
"I'm Mayhem." And then she goes, "Are you his cousin or something?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm his cousin."
So then she goes, "Oh," but she starts rambling, and he goes, "All right, I don't want to see that kid's wiener anymore," right? Or something to that extent. And I go, "Mayhem, come here, like, get away from the door, like, just come back in the house," right? So I go, "Dude," okay,
and I backed off.
Of course, you shut down, but I go, "Bro, listen, this woman's obviously something's the issue, but she goes home and she Googles Mayhem, right? And all your shit comes up, and then she goes, oh no, and she makes a phone call and says, this guy made it inappropriate, like, cut my wiener away. I was like, thing.
How much? They can't violate me for telling a kid to put his wiener away.
They can't, but it was like, I was thinking of like 10 different directions where this could have gone wrong,
see,
right?
But your anxiety. No, look,
you said thank
I
you.
I have like a lack of anxiety about most stuff, and you have like a super anxiety about everything. I think we have a nice little balance
1,000%. I take things.
Because I'm always breaking the law.
I'm always
if
like.
If anything, this lady breaking the law. Hey, that's disturbing the peace. Put that uncircumcised dick away.
And I was like, I don't know. Well, the point is that I think circumcised. I think they're Jewish. But anyway, so they came over.
Bro, why are you looking at that wiener hard, bro?
I just know they're Jewish. But and they were on our property. But I always.
So I'm saying.
I do think of like the
wait,
worst.
So they were in your.
They came.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look, I wouldn't have said nothing.
They're friends, friendly-ish.
Ish. Okay. No, no, that's weird. No. This kid is doing a power move, bro.
This kid's coming over with his circumcised cock. Fucking yelling.
No, he was on, like, I wouldn't have said shit, but all of a sudden, this little Neanderthal baby wanders over.
The point is, look.
With his dick hanging out, is offensive.
I know, but
to
I'm
me and to the rest of America.
Okay,
Adam.
But I'm looking at worst case scenario, right?
What's the worst case scenario?
Is that you end up in some ridiculous scenario.
Bro, I wish the cops would show up and I'd be like, look at this baby dick.
That's where I get worried about you. I get worried about you because yes, you're in the right, but when you're around other people that are maybe a little off, okay, your offness comes out.
Listen,
a
you didn't
bit.
Get it. Yeah, I was hitting on that chick. I was trying to be her new baby daddy.
The point is that you
and then we could live then, right across then, like, the street from each other.
But then for like the next 2 weeks, I thought like. Mayhem needs somebody around him.
At all times.
All times.
Get the fuck out of here.
Telling him, dude, okay, you're right. You're completely in the right.
Look.
But where, like, you're starting right now at, like, -27. Listen. And everyone else is at 0.
I hear
okay?
you.
So.
Look, I'll admit, okay, I was a little aggressive with my tell that baby to get his dick off my lawn type attitude.
Oh, right.
You're right. All right, you know, the jailhouse came out.
I worry about someone hearing this fucking podcast. Okay, but I don't.
Well, you gotta admit that. Look, I mean,
no,
look.
You're in the right. But my point is that I think crazy people or people
are attracted to me.
They attracted to you, and they bring out your sense of like craziness or inappropriateness, and then you're the one who's gonna get in trouble.
No. But here's the thing: is that you understand that I like took it upon myself to do that because I knew I don't live here. And I don't, that way, so, I don't live
in
here.
My fucking house.
And I'll be over at your house every once in a while, yeah. But not all the
matter,
time.
You have 12 strikes against you. Right
yeah,
now.
But what I'm saying is that I was trying to do you a solid by making it uncomfortable for half. I mean, since she doesn't think it's uncomfortable
but,
that a 2-year-old, when does that baby get to put
the
pants on?
No, but you get yourself in these wacky scenarios. Like,
yeah,
you get yourself in these scenarios, you're like, wait, naked in a church with a fire extinguisher?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's almost like a game of Mad Libs where you just like, listen, like
I'm well aware.
Was blank
I always
in
do.
A blank, yeah. In a blank, right?
I do self reflection, bro. So, I get it that I'm not exact. I'm always in a wacky situation.
But
Mayhem at Adam's house with the baby with no clothes on, that just made me feel weird
you're
all
right,
over.
Right.
And I was trying to help you out.
I understand. Don't.
But now I caused you more pain, and I'm sorry.
Let's just help you out, okay?
Yeah.
Let's say.
Don't worry about me, Bloodbath. I got this.
No, before you yell out, put some, I don't want to see his wiener, okay, to the mother of a fucking child, right? And I don't want to see his wiener either.
This naked baby thing is getting pretty sensitive.
No, but the thing is, you don't want to see the wiener. I don't want to
see. Your wife don't want to see it. And your little baby does not to be exposed to wieners this early in her life.
But I want
to
see you again. happen, okay?
But what the hell's going to happen? If the cops show up, it was a calculated risk there.
Don't you understand that, like, you're not a great lawyer?
Yeah.
And
objection.
Let's just say that, like,
sustain.
Let's just say that, okay, you need like a Jiminy Cricket on your shoulder saying, "Mayhem, you're right, but let's just fucking."
I have that guy. I just tell him to shut the fuck up all the time.
All right,
that's fair.
All right, fair. Moving on. Okay.
What? Fine. If you don't want me to, you know, give opinions on baby dicks,
I don't.
Fine.
What I want you to do is just think to yourself, there are some crazy people out there, and I don't have to out-crazy them, or I don't have to tell them, that, right? Just think about yourself.
Why are you
like,
trying to suck all the fun out of my life, dude?
Dude, come on. Because I think it'll be something so fucking stupid that'll set you back there. And
listen, I felt like that lady was flirting with me a little bit.
She might have been. She might
have
been.
You know what? I think okay, we're like I this close to sucking face.
And then that was a point where I'm sitting there thinking, fuck, man, like... He's gonna have a tough time because little things are gonna fucking set him off,
nah.
And you're in the right, and it's like
no. But here's the thing: where you're not getting, Adam. I appreciate you're so worried about me. Is that I knew where the line was. I danced right up to it.
No,
I danced right up to it. Hey, and then I made her my friend. By the end of that, she's like, "Okay, see you
later."
Right. She's right. She's my BFF. But the reality was is that I had to say something.
You also, yeah, like,
I'm not the kind of person to shut the fuck up. Okay,
right,
I had to say something because this baby dick was making everyone uncomfortable.
Okay,
your
right.
wife, you, and you live there, so you can't really say nothing. I realize I don't live here, so I can put a little seed, put the seed of doubt in her head. Maybe it's time to put some when. So okay, when that kid's 13 and your daughter's 12, and that kid's swinging dick around, just remember the Mayhem was the first one to say, "Put some pants on."
I will remember that, but I also like, for example, like when someone says, "Hey, we should do a podcast," and you show up at their house and their basement, and they're like, "What the fuck are you breaking in my house? I was drunk when I said that, right?" And then they pull a gun on you. Okay, the thing to do is not say, "I'm not scared of death." Pull it, right? Like maybe it's just time to get the fuck out of the house.
Man,
you know.
Well, you know what? Duly noted.
All right. So
I think before before I take a side in this argument, I got to see that baby's dick. It all depends on how big it is, dude.
See. Dude, it was offensive. It was big enough to be offensive. His dad is definitely of African descent.
All right, Joe, how are you doing? What's going on with you?
Well, I ain't going to lie.
Please don't.
No big deal. I think everybody at some point, if they're in a serious relationship, they come to like their sexual limit, meaning like they've pretty much done everything they can think of. You know, you do doggy style, you do missionary, and it's like, what else is there? You know,
ass blasting.
Well, I do ass blast, all that stuff. So I reached my limit. So I'm sort of like exploring new things, and I just explored like the best thing I've ever came across of all time, just by accident.
What is this?
I went to Target, and.
That's it.
I went to Target. I was doing holiday shopping, and I went to the men's section, and I saw they have like a bunch of like holiday like onesies, like costumes. Like I found a turkey costume, and like, there's a Santa Claus costume. So I bought the turkey costume.
Nice.
And I brought it home. I put it on, and I was like, this actually feels kind of cool. You know, I'm like a Thanksgiving turkey, you know? And so I remember I had a reindeer one from last year. I let my girlfriend use the reindeer one, and I put on the turkey one. I was like, dude, this is fucking hot.
Bruh,
like physically?
This is the beginning of a furry.
Yeah, exactly.
So you fucked her as a turkey?
Well, I'm not gonna.
No, he didn't fuck her. He turkey basted a reindeer.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly it, dude. So I'm doing a little bit more research on the whole furry movement because when you put that outfit on, you feel like an animal, dude.
It's empowering.
Yeah,
it's very empowering. But it was a turkey.
Yeah, I mean, it's not my first choice.
And did your wife or your girlfriend, did she have any kind of objection? Seems like she's always down for your adventures.
Oh, yeah, she's always down, yeah.
She was a virgin before you.
I mean, how long did you play these reindeer games?
Not long. But I do have a lot of, you know...
All right,
bro. This is a very.
Okay, so
now that
are
I think
you
going
to delve in? Is this a thing that you're going to like?
Oh yeah, I'm doing more research.
I can know. Do you have an animal already picked out, or are you doing different researches?
I was in a joint with the dude who was a furry.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
He's like, I know. I saw you glance at me. I think I told you about this. This guy got involved with a triple murder in the furry community.
Oh.
Ooh.
Wait. What? Yeah. How?
That's dark.
I know. Was it animal cruelty?
I know.
Wait.
Animal
cruelty. Wait. So what happened?
I mean. Bro,
they got
damn, I hate to make the damn podcast so dark, but yeah, this guy, like, these two dudes were friends with another girl, all in the furry community, right? And apparently the girl was like 17 or so. She told the guys that her stepdad was molesting her. These dudes, apparently, one of them was like a army vet, never really seen combat action or anything. Well, he just blasts everybody in the house with the shotgun. Nice. Fucking terrible. He went down for life. He's gone away forever. But the other guy who was involved in it, that was the guy I knew. And he said he wasn't involved with that at all.
Right.
But the cops think something different. So he educated me on that furry stuff. I kept asking him the weird, like, what the fuck? So you dress up as a fucking...
Like a mascot from high school.
Were you like the therapist in the prison?
Yeah, I was, bro. I therapized everybody. Like, I just was completely, you know, like giving everybody a shoulder to cry on.
Did people tell you where the bodies were and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had a guy tell me, yeah, they're out by the 74 freeway. I went back over there. They're just skeletons.
Wow.
I know. It was fucking creepy. Maybe that guy's full of shit, but I don't know, man.
Wow.
It was a dark, dark period in my life. Yeah, and
did you feel normal?
Those are my friends.
But do you feel more normal? So you felt like
completely normal compared to these dudes. Like, I was like, what the fuck?
Was there anybody that made you feel
like
crazy?
I was just fucking drinking, man. Yeah.
I was just fighting. I just got in a fight with the cops. I'm not a fucking madman like these assholes. Yeah. Just fucking wizard the cops.
And Tyler, what's going on with you?
Not much. Just got back from shooting a movie. I was out in Palm Springs for 3 weeks, which was fucking cool. Yeah, getting paid a lot of money for
standing around.
Hurry up and wait, dude.
Right?
Wow.
Hurry up and wait.
It was a good experience.
It was a great experience. Director, super, super cool. Big, well-known guy. So it was cool.
You can't talk about it.
Like, can't watch it. But it was cool, like, getting to watch him work and, like, see how he does stuff and, like, how he shoots and where his, you know.
And we were coaching yesterday. It was our first semester back. And this little kid, like, we always get, but this one kid came back. Ugh. And I was like, all right, do some forward rolls. No.
I can't.
I go, okay, guys, on this team, there's no I can't, I won't, it's I will, and I just did. You know, that's what I want to hear. And then I was like, hey, anybody have any questions? Do we wear body armor? I was like,
body armor?
I'm like, no.
Like a fucking taekwondo.
This kid's playing too much fork knife.
and then we did like a sprawl, and he was like, ow. So then
who is this kid?
It was like
never mind.
It was like a 90-year-old Woody Allen.
I know, yeah.
On a middle school wrestling team. And he was making me laugh and the other kids laugh. But I have kids that like are really good this year that like do 5 days a week and yada, yada. So I was like, Tyler, you handle this.
Yeah.
And you had to kind of just.
It was a blast.
Really?
I fucking had a blast. This kid, like, not an aggressive bone in his body.
Yeah. But, you know.
But, like,
who signed him up for wrestling, his damn overbearing dad?
I'm sure.
I think he has the most coddling parents in the entire world.
Well, I said
world.
To him, because I was showing them the head and arm, right? And I'm basically, I'm like, okay, who's ever given a noogie before, right? Raise your hand. So, okay, this is kind of the same, you know. And I go, who's got a noogie? And the kid never got one. So
what's
then,
a noogie?
What's a noogie? So then Tyler gave him a noogie. It was just like, yeah.
Gave him the softest contact I could do.
And he cried.
And he was like, ah!
Yeah, it was just
fucking hilarious.
It's going to be a long season.
Yes.
I told him I don't want to hear it anymore. It's okay if it hurts, but don't let us know it hurts. Don't ever let them know.
Seventh grader, this kid?
Seventh grader.
You got
seventh?
Seventh. Oh, yeah, I think a lot of times grader. You get parents.
No, he's a sixth grader.
No, he's seven.
He's 12.
No, he's seventh. I asked him.
Because I
told him, like, oh, this is your first day of wrestling, so you're going to get away with a lot of shit. I'm not going to get mad at you, but we have to take it to the next level. I'm not a babysitter, okay? I'm not interested in babysitting, so I'm interested in coaching champions. So if you want to be a champion, this is what you do. But if not, there's screenwriting 101,
croquet.
There's like basket weaving.
Go play croquet.
You know, but this is not... And then I'm like, am I that asshole coach? You know, like, it's hard on me
You know, no. So you're like, a buttercup, okay? Like, because, like, compared to me, I feel like I'm a little too mean for those kids. Some, the kids that I ran into with you, Those kids are all like savages.
Because they want to be
But
there.
This little guy, I might be like, oh, I might like lose my cool. I might do a lot of this like head slapping and like walking away. You know what I mean? Nah, I remember those kind of. I remember my coaches like had no patience for like the little wimps.
Well, that's the thing. It's well, then the other part of me is like, well, it'd be great to turn this kid.
Exactly.
You know?
Oh, yeah. So he can become
something.
Because
he's not going to get it anywhere else.
I don't want to give up on him on the first day, especially.
No, no. It's all right.
At
I
the
got
same
him.
Time.
I'll take him.
If this kid takes away from the rest of the kids, then we got a problem.
Hey, I turned King into a wrestler.
Just a wrestler.
Let's talk about some of the fights that went on. You watched the Jacare fight?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Didn't see it yet.
So it was a really, you missed nothing. It was a really boring fight. Jacare went up to 205. He looked great. I just think that with Jacare, it's hard because there's a guy who's not getting blown out. He's losing to guys that he would have beaten 5 years ago, but he's losing like by a small margin.
Yeah.
So you're like,
he's losing by a step. He's lost that step.
But he's right there.
39 years old.
I mean, it's one thing with like Chris Weidman, who's getting knocked out in 12 seconds. You're like, maybe it's time. But what do you do with Jacare? You make him a gatekeeper?
I mean, that's kind of where you arrive.
If he wants to be, if he wants to keep
fighting,
decent guy.
Now, you fought him twice, right?
Yeah.
Now, your second fight, you got disqualified for soccer kicking him?
Nah, not disqualified.
What happened?
For no contest. I thought we were doing pride rules.
You really thought that?
Yeah.
Did they tell you that?
Yeah. But then when I kicked him in the head, they said it was illegal. I said, oh.
Nobody said you had no idea going into that fight you couldn't kick a guy in the head?
No.
Come on.
I didn't.
Now, what did your coaches say afterwards?
They said, why did you kick him in the head?
Weren't you fucking paying attention to your rules meeting?
I was like, I'm better than Silva.
What, did you guys, didn't do a rules meeting?
Yeah, but it was in Japanese. I wasn't listening.
Now, the first time you fought him, though, the first fight, you lost a close decision, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, was he better than you expected or worse? Or did you know how good he was going to be?
It was about what I thought, you know? Like, I knew he was a tough guy. He's always been tough. But, you know, I expected that.
Now, his jiu-jitsu, were you intimidated by that at all?
Nah. You know, I like, went my whole career, never tapped out. I, like, got choked one time, but, like, never tapped out. So, I, like, was not afraid of
it. Who'd you get
that.
Choked by?
Todd Carney. I hit my head on the mat and then woke up thinking I won. Yeah. choked me with a guillotine. That was like way early in my career, and then I came back and mutilated.
It was on like a double leg or something.
I double legged him. It was one of those great moments
one
in
of those
my
Matt
career.
Lindland moments?
Well, yeah, I scooped him up and I heard the crowd go, and I was like, oh, watch this. And I like spun him around to the center of the ring and jumped and I hit my head. And the last thing I remember was like thinking, you can't guillotine me. I'm awesome at jiu-jitsu. And then I woke up and Tito was looking down at me. I was like, did I win? it was a rough one, man. That was funny. But like,
I mean, now, did you take losses? Did you cry afterwards? You get upset? Were you fine?
Yeah, for sure. You can't be a real competitor if you don't really give a fuck about losing. You know what I mean? I wish I could have just been like, ha ha. Whatever, but like, yeah, dude, and like jumping rope every day thinking about that loss is like that kind of, you know, singular focus. I really think that was instrumental to my success, you know, becoming a great fighter, was that I you know, was pushing myself every time and challenging myself to get better and better and you know, holding myself to a real high standard, you know?
Well, Tyler, like, so, I mean, people don't know. I mean, you're 0-3 as a fighter. You're obviously a brown belt. You can kick 99% my ass, everyone else's ass. But you seem like you kind of didn't get that upset when you lost, right?
Yeah, because like you said, you can't be a real competitor if you don't care if you win or lose. And I'm kind of like, somewhere along the way, I lost the fire of being a competitor. No, it's funny. I was thinking about it last night where I used to get so fucking angry when I would lose. Like, as a kid through high school, would get so fucking angry. And somewhere in my competitive career in jiu-jitsu and fighting, like, that just went away. Like, I just stopped caring. I was like, oh, all right, well, life goes. Like, I learned that, like, life just goes on. And, like,
but the way, but your image, though, the image that you had was that you wouldn't give a fuck.
Well, yeah, see, that's the funny line that you got to dance. Like, because I had my best performances when I wasn't concerned about winning or losing, I was just concerned about like the moment, like just having fun in the moment. Those were my best performances. Then the flip side, when I look back at it, I would lose fights when I was too focused on winning or too stubborn on one direction. And if the fight was going bad like this way, I wouldn't adjust because I wasn't in the moment. So it's a very strange line you got to dance as a competitor of being like, you know, free and in the moment and relaxed, you know, and you know, going hard in the moment to win. So it's like, you know, man, it's a beautiful dance, the fight business.
When I lost in high school wrestling, I wouldn't leave my dorm room for like 3 weeks.
Right. Bro, I cried in front of Stipe Miocic.
Really?
Yeah, I like fucking cried a motherfucker. My last UFC fight, I just fucking cried right in the back. But, you know, you got to like.
What does Stipe do?
He fucking went out there and beat the guy's ass. Like, he won his fight that night. But in the locker room, man, I came back. And I it's funny because, you know, like, I haven't cried in, like, fucking forever. And I'm talking through jailhouse, through this, that. And sometimes I was like, man, I wish I could cry because it's so cathartic. Like, you feel better. You know, you just cry, and then you fucking stand up, like, wipe your face, and okay, I'm better now. You know, and that's what I did. Eat a hamburger and go about your day.
Right.
You know? But, you know, it's like a very difficult thing to do, especially in our culture where, you know, you're supposed to be manly and never show emotion or whatever. But look, that's for the birds, you know, to have that release and catharsis. It can help you to move on.
Does Stipe come up to you and like put his arm around you?
Yeah.
Did he really?
No. No, he had business to do. I didn't expect him. I even, you know, I hid in my corner to be away from everybody. Leave me the fuck alone. You know, and hey, you know, that's just the reality of the fight life. You know, if you really care and really like want to try to win your fights and try to, you know, if you're a competitor, of course you put a lot into you put your whole life into fighting. That's why, you know, I understand those guys. It's hard for me to promote a fight because I understand that every guy on the card is putting everything into it. Because if you're not, you know, it's hard to do this job. Yeah. it's hard to do that job if you're just, you know,
whatever,
not worried about it. You know?
Yeah, you know, even as a coach, if a kid isn't upset that he lost, that's when there's a problem.
Yeah.
I'd much rather have a kid cry or do whatever. Now, do you see the Russ Pearson knockout? Can we bring that up?
Bring it up.
Russ Pearson is no longer in the UFC. I think he was fighting in, I don't know if this is Cage Warriors. I'm not really sure what organization, but I've never seen anything like this. So play it. What is this, man? Like, can you do this?
I already know what this is.
Watch this.
I've done this in practice.
Hold on. So he's fighting this guy. Third round.
Under that eye. Spinning heel kick.
Yada, yada, yada. All right.
Pearson. Both guys look pretty damn tired.
Oh, shit.
Oh my God.
I told you there's a name for it.
Yeah.
Now, how do you do that? What is that?
Yeah. You know, there's some. I've ran into this. This is like a technique, I think it's from Hapkido or something, like officially. But yeah, it's a rolling thunder kick. You do a forward roll and you're trying to aim. I even trained this near like the end of my career where you stand back from the bag and step up and then just you kind of do it like a shoulder roll, but then you leave one leg behind. And if you can land your heel on his face, you knock that dude the fuck out just like that.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I like Russ Pearson. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's
big
great.
Fan. But maybe it's time. I mean,
look, bro, you can't knock the guy for busting out a sweet ass move.
No, of course, but fuck, man. I guess it's hard to go out like this, right? I mean,
yeah,
we'll see him in BKFC.
How do you even prepare for this?
I mean, in practice one time, this dude tried to do that on me. You just step out the way, really. I mean, you gotta identify that it's coming. But he didn't even know this was coming. Yeah, look at it. He wasn't ready for that. He didn't know that was a move in this guy's arsenal. Like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, what was that? Yeah. He still doesn't know. Yeah. So,
oh, man. Poor guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I mean, look, the MMA needs some shit like that, you know? And that's a bummer that Pearson had to go out like that. But, dude, you got to give props to that guy for digging deep into his tool belt and busting that one out.
50 seconds to go in third round?
Come on.
Yeah, it sucks nobody's talking about that guy, you know? Yeah, everybody's just talking about Ross Pearson getting knocked the fuck out.
I don't even know who that guy is.
Gallon?
What? Gannon?
Gallon. Like a gallon of gas, a gallon of ass whooping.
Oh, man.
Ass whooping.
Yeah, that was hard to watch though. Is Gastelum logged on? No? Yes. All right, so we'll just keep going. Kelvin missed weight for this podcast. All right, so now other fights that went on. Paul Craig took on
Shogun.
That fight, I thought Shogun won. I don't know how they called it a draw, and Shogun lost the first round. Won the second and won the third, except for like the last 20 seconds, and they made it a draw. It made no sense to me. Did you watch it?
Nah, I didn't watch
it. Did anybody watch the fight?
I watched it.
Who did you think won?
Well, I had money on Paul Craig.
Yeah.
In my parlay, so I was biased. I thought he won the third round, but I could have seen it gone either way. To be honest, you know, two judges gave it for each of them.
Okay, so Gastelum's ready, by the way. Randy Brown beat Wally Alves.
Yeah, that's a shocker.
I called that.
You called that?
Yeah.
Wally Alves is the one guy to beat Colby Covington. He won the Ultimate Fighter. He's had an up and down career. Randy Brown's a kid they picked from Dana White's Looking for a Fight. He got starched by a bunch of guys. Bilal Muhammad like beat the shit out of him.
Yep.
And then he also got against that one guy from Florida that hammer fisted from the bottom.
Nico Price.
You ever see this happen there? Dude. You see that fight? Nico Price. Can we talk up Nico Price versus Randy Brown right before we get to Kelvin real quick? Because this another one of these things where I'm like, I didn't even know these moves were out there. It, like, have you ever get caught in a move where you're like, where the fuck did that come from?
Nah, man. I've been doing this since I was a little kid. I've seen like all the variation. I mean, look. I'm sure there's shit out there that I've never seen before, but for the most part.
So we could show up Nico Price, Kelvin Gastelum, because I love showing you stuff like this. Nico Price won his last fight by the upkick James Vick. So this guy is the king of winning from the bottom, which normally they say don't pull guard, not a great move. But unless you're Nico Price.
I want to see this. What was the technique? Describe it to me.
My man Gage, by the way. So he was caught like in a triangle. What was it?
He had an underhook on one arm, almost like a side control.
From
the bottom. Butterfly hook across his face.
Yeah.
And he used the butterfly hook to pull his head in and did hammer fist from the bottom.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
It was nasty.
These are variations of stuff. That's really good to be inventive like that. It sounds like this dude is, you know, making up his own moves kind of. And every once in a while we see guys who like improvise, you know, who like have like some specialized skills that only they can do. You know, like the way you coach a guy is like, okay, you show him all the basics, right? You know, keep your hands up, chin down. But then once you like master all this stuff, you can break the rules. You can bend them at first, and then some guys can just completely break the rules, you know?
And that's what people were saying about like Fedor striking.
Yeah, exactly. Like he breaks the rules. Like his like weird, like, you know what I mean? Like, swinging
jalopy,
from his damn. Yeah, so it looks like that ain't gonna work, but it works for him, you know? That there's always these outliers who can do techniques that aren't really, you know, they don't look like they're technical moves, but they work for him.
You were an outlier in jiu-jitsu, correct?
Yeah, I did weird stuff. Yeah, like I would do weird techniques that, you know, they're run-of-the-mill to me, but other people, you know, didn't do them.
I love seeing stuff like that.
It's like
but it's hard as a coach sometimes because, like, especially when, like, coaching even middle school where a kid's getting away with something, but you're like, it's not gonna work. It's not gonna, and it just keeps working. And
middle school is different though because the dudes aren't like physically developed to a point where they're so strong that goofy stuff doesn't work. You know, like I coached with you at that one tournament. I was cracking up because I was like, no, don't turn your head. never mind. That
yeah,
worked.
Like, yeah.
Like, how did he just get 2 points? Yeah.
My favorite.
That's these are apples and oranges. These are oranges and bananas.
Yeah.
These are oranges and kiwis. I don't even know what the hell I'm
My
talking
My favorite
about.
Thing is the wrong side double leg. That works seems to work
well, not
every
the
time.
Worst is when you're
they
on
just
bottom.
Drag them down like.
Ah! Okay, so we got Kelvin Gastelum. We'll talk to Kelvin.
Hell
right
yeah.
Hey, what's up, Kelvin Gastelum? How are you, man?
That hair.
Yeah, he looking at us. Is it this one, Kelvin? Oh, I got up.
Put your damn headphones
Sorry,
on.
Thanks.
Can you guys hear me? Can you see
How
me?
Are you, brother?
Barely.
Good, good, good. Can we get the volume up? The volume's a little weird. So we're talking to one of the best fighters in the UFC. He was top two at 185, top two at 170. He's proven everybody wrong. Everyone's like, he's not going to be able to make it at 185. He knocked out Bisping. He beat Jacare. Something you couldn't do, Mayhem. And now I don't. Where are you? You're in Florida. How are you, man? What's going on?
I'm in Miami Beach, man.
Nice. I'm going to see you tomorrow at the Miami Improv. I'm going to be there tomorrow night. So are you taking a vacation? What's going on?
That was my Scarface impersonation. Miami Beach, man. Anyways.
Can we get volume on this? Is there something? Joe, help me.
He said Miami Beach, man.
Miami Beach, man.
All right. How's the volume? Are we, Gage, thank you, man.
You guys can hear me well or no? You.
All right, here we go. Kelvin, talk for a sec.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, that's better, right? That's better. Yeah. All right, talking to Kelvin Gastelum. So you're taking a vacation?
I'm out in Miami Beach, brother, having a little time to myself before I head back to work.
Good. Now, did your girlfriend graduate high school? Is that what you're celebrating?
You asshole. Yeah, no.
By the way, he has like a girlfriend in college. She's smoking hot. But she's got to be like, what, 21? She shows up to your fights wearing her sorority letters and stuff.
She just so young, but she graduated years ago. But actually, I got a confession to make. Her and I split up a few months ago, like 2 months ago. Yeah.
What happened? Was it because is she dating Darren Till now? Is that what happened?
Or, I think so, man. No. She's a good girl.
Damn. All right. So you're in Miami, just rocky Cuban vagina right now. You're probably going crazy.
Well, I met up with Henry out here. I met up with Kamaru out here. And we're just having a good time. Well, Kamaru's in training, but Henry and I are having a good time.
You and Henry Cejudo. Do people think that you're his dad?
We pass for brothers.
Okay, I like it. Now I had money on you in that last fight. I'm not gonna ask, like, someone asked Nate Diaz, like, hey, pay my rent because I like blew my rent on your thing. I was
Shoot.
Like, dude, was it one of those things you just couldn't get started? Yeah, of course. Was it something where you just couldn't get started against Till?
Yeah, I mean, I just felt flat. I don't know if Mayhem hasn't felt like that. I don't know, fight night, just fucking flat and just not on, you know, at all. And just
you
not,
think maybe
not
that
night at all.
Maybe a little bit of overtraining or like, what are you gonna do different on the next one? I mean, you got to learn from that, right?
Right. And I just think it's a lot of things that I could have done better during fight week, you know, maybe rest a little bit more, not train as much and maybe not cut as much weight. You know, this time we cut it close. And I think it all affected me and it kind of felt flat, just real flat. And not my night, man. I don't even feel like I lost to Darren Till. You know, it's not like I got destroyed or flattened by him. It's just not my night that night.
No, of course. Now,
man, I've already got 2020 mapped out, bro. I'm so excited for what's to come, man. I'm recharging right now here in Florida, as you can see. But 2020 is already mapped out, and I'm planning a big year ahead.
Now, you were a state champ wrestler. You're a great wrestler. In that third round, you went for a takedown, but there was like 20 seconds left. Do you kind of wish that you kind of went for the takedown earlier?
I mean, I just wish I could have been on my shit that night more, you know. I mean, I just wasn't on my game that night. I really, it's a sucky feeling that I never want to feel again.
Well, you know, people always say, like, hey, man, Kelvin Gastelum in the gym, he shows up late, the girls beat him, everyone fucks him, everyone fucks him up. But then when it's fight time, you just knock everyone out. I mean, you're just a different fighter fight time. But this, so maybe it was just an aberration. It was a one-time thing. It was something where it was just, hey, sometimes you just, this is the first time that ever happened to you, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just felt fucking flat and just not on, you know? And it was really weird. I never felt like that in a fight, and I don't ever want to feel that again.
Well, I mean, you're right there, man. Now, what happened on the scale? Because they said that you were, your coach, like, leaned forward or something.
Yeah. And
you got in trouble. Like, what exactly happened?
Yeah. Well, I guess my coach got a little too close, you know, overlooking the scale there. And, you know, I didn't even notice that he was right behind me. I was just focused on making the weight.
Lifted you up by the ass.
That's what they said.
Now, did you got like in trouble or like now you can't go back to New York? Like, what happened?
No, I got a little fine for doing that misconduct and
for scale tampering. That's hilarious.
For beating the system.
Now at 170, like, because you were having a tough time making 170, but you could make 170. You won the Ultimate Fighter at 170.
185, right? Sorry.
Oh, 85, but you used to fight at 170. Yeah. But then this time that's you had right. A tough time making 85. Like, did you get up to like 230, 240? I'm being serious.
I did get really heavy after my fight with Israel in April. I took a really long time off just because I wanted my body to heal up, and I took myself away from training completely for like 2 months, and I did get up pretty heavy, you know?
Is it your mom? I think this is your mom's fault, because your mom keeps making you, right? Your mom makes you those like burritos and the this and that and all that Mexican food. Like, do you tell your mom, like...
Unfortunately, I don't hang out with my mom that much anymore because of that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, mom with the quesadilla.
And then, okay, but then your girlfriend was a nutritionist, and then you broke up with her, and then you gained 40 pounds.
Her fault?
Did you break up with her for Aunt Jemima? Like, who the fuck did you like? Did she have stuff to do with this?
No. I just feel like it was my fault, you know. In my time off, I gained too much weight, and then I had, you know, this time I had a little bit of trouble.
How much weight did you cut? How much weight did you cut the week out? Sorry to cut you off there, bud. But how much weight did you cut the week out?
The week of 15, oh, okay. Which I don't really ever do that much.
Yeah.
Actually, in most of my fights at 85, I'm walking at 85.
Yeah, it seems like that could definitely affect your conditioning, bro. 15 pounds in a week, that's kind of rough.
You also have been knocking everybody out. And do you think maybe you kind of fell in love with your power?
Maybe. Yeah. I was pretty confident that I was going to knock him out, but out there and look like shit. So, yeah, maybe.
So was I. Because, like, your boxing is on point. He was a Golden Glove boxer.
Oh, yeah.
So if you don't know Kelvin's story, because I know you've been away for a while.
Thanks, buddy.
So Kelvin graduated high school, was like the 8th seed in the state tournament, won the states, right? Then he goes to college. He misses his mom. He's like, I miss my mom. I want to be home. Drops out, becomes a bail bondsman.
Oh, yeah.
And starts boxing.
Nice.
Becomes a Golden Glove boxer. Then he goes on The Ultimate Fighter. He's the last pick. Everyone's like, oh, this guy, this fat, chubby Mexican. Like, come on. He wins The Ultimate Fighter. Yeah. Beats Uriah Hall in the finals. Fucks up Uriah Hall. Then he fights. He beats the next five guys. Then Tim Kennedy, he misses weight in New York City for Donald Cerrone. Everyone fucking abandons him but me. I call him up because I like blocked my number and he like picked up. Right. So then we became friends. He fights Tim Kennedy. Yeah. Kennedy's like, I'm going to teach him a lesson. He beats the fuck out of Tim Kennedy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Then Bisping loses to GSP.
Yeah.
Bisping says, all right, I'm going to fight Kelvin to get my mojo back. He knocks fucking Bisping out, right? Yeah. Which is crazy. Then he fights Israel. Everyone's like, oh, Israel's going to fuck him up. This is style bender. It's 2-2 going into the fifth.
Yeah.
And it was a real close one. He almost won, but Israel got him. I gotta say. It was very, very close. So now he fights Darren Till, and like, here we are. Right? Am I right? Pretty much a good assessment of your life so far?
I mean, some of your facts are a little skewed, but yeah.
Hey, that's Adam Hunter, bro. Welcome to the show, MMA Roast. Yeah, he always does that.
Basically, yeah, you're on the money, basically.
Yeah. He also chokes out Jake Ellenberger in one round.
Nice. That's tough.
I mean, he's been fucking everybody up.
So what do they got on the deck for you in 2020, bud? I can't wait to see your next fight, man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I don't have an opponent lined up yet. I'm targeting maybe fighting around March. I want to make some holidays. I get to eat a little bit.
Yo, don't blow up to 255, all right, bro?
No, we don't want to see you a heavyweight, all right? No, that was a learn. I'm gonna take it easy this season,
but the body's good though. You're healthy, right? Everything's good. All right.
Healthy, good, brother.
All right.
Now I know that I know you got mad at Rogan because or somebody during the fight they said that you called Darren Till a stepping stone, and then you tweeted out like, "Hey, media is full of shit. I never called anyone a stepping stone," and then someone. Yeah. Someone then played the tape of you calling him a stepping stone.
Who are you, Donald Trump?
it was like Maury. Like, let's go to the tape. And then you wrote, oh, my bad.
Awesome.
Like, Jamie, pull that shit up. Did you not remember?
Did you not remember calling him a stepping stone?
And nobody remembers what they say on the promo.
Yeah.
No.
Hell yeah.
But that wasn't even my...
Hey man, connect the Wi-Fi. Oh,
okay. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Okay, what was your point?
The point was that there's so much control media has over influence, and you know, I thought I had said something, or I thought I had not something, and the media has so much influence that if they say that I said something, everybody's gonna believe it. You know?
Right.
But when you say something, everybody's going to report it.
But I did say it.
Maybe you should have stayed in college.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
You just fucked up.
Yeah, it's okay, man. Look, yeah. Kelvin, you are the most likable human being I've ever met. Like,
and handsome, too.
You're one of these guys that, like, and you're a loyal dude, man. Like, you're a loyal guy. Like, you're one of those dudes, like, he came to my we were in Vegas and he came to my hotel room to do a podcast.
Yeah.
And I like fucked it up. The sound was like beyond horrible. And it kept dying. And he just sat there like the nicest. He's such a nice guy, man.
No, he was just reliving being a bail bondsman sitting there on his hands waiting for somebody to come out the house.
Yeah. He was such a good dude.
You're lucky I like you, brother. You're lucky I like you.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. Now, have you been on, are you on Tinder or Bumble or?
Grindr.
I am
Uber Eats.
You know what? I haven't been on Tinder in years.
Uber Eats.
What? No more. You are on Tinder or Bumble?
No, I haven't been on that in years.
Come on, bro. Facebook is his Tinder, bro. This guy's on top of the world. He's banging whoever he feels like.
Instagram?
There you go.
Why are you always interested in everybody's sex life, man?
I don't know. Cause
always.
Because yours is so sparse?
Yeah, because I'm going to yell that for going to strip clubs. So.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
So you're hanging out with Cejudo.
Bro, I'm sorry to cut you, but I actually have to take off in a little bit.
Okay.
Did the pizza come?
Yeah. The pizza's waiting for me at the door.
Nice. All right, well, I'll see you tomorrow night at Miami Improv.
Yes, sir. We'll see
Thanks,
you tomorrow, Calvin. Brother.
Thank
y'all
you.
Y'all take care, gentlemen. Good talking to you.
See you, brother.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Hell yeah, that dude's fucking living like life rat. Right now.
Yeah.
No, he lost that fight, but whatever. You know what I mean? He'll be back. He's like a great competitor.
Yeah.
So that it's good to see him doing good, man. It's like, he's
never been dominated. Like, he's never been even...
No, because he has a good base of skills. He's got the wrestling. He's got, you know, good boxing. It's difficult to, like... You know, crack that nut. A guy who has those skills in particular, boxing and wrestling together, is like very difficult to just smash it.
Under 10th Planet, right?
Yeah, he's a black belt. That makes sense.
So he has a well-rounded game.
I just the thing about him though is I get nervous about him being undersized because Till looks so much bigger than him.
Well, yeah, Till's fucking oversized. He fought at 70 and now he's walking around at 85.
But like according to Mike Dolce, he could make 55 according to Dolce.
How tall is he? I don't even know.
Dude, he's like 5'6". No, he's not.
Till?
No. Kelvin.
Oh, Kelvin.
He's like 5'10". 5'9".
Oh, really?
I mean, you see him, you're like, how is this
but
guy?
But he's like a muscle truck kind of dude, yeah. He puts on a lot of muscle.
He's like, just a
it's like Nacho Libre.
He's just a regular guy. He's one of those dudes that's just like heavy, but you don't know why. You know, dense. You're like, where is it? He's just fucking dense.
And he hits a lot harder than you think.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he knocked out, he fought Weidman, mm-hmm. and the fight was almost over in the first.
Because, I saw that, yeah.
And then Weidman came back and submitted him because Weidman's so much bigger than him.
Yeah.
But he can knock out anybody. I mean, Bisping definitely did not expect to get knocked out by him.
No. The speed difference, too. Like, if a guy's walking around a little bit lighter and, like, naturally smaller, like I'd rather fight a bigger dude than a smaller dude because my style complements that. Because if a guy, like, I fight dudes where if I'm faster, it's like better for me.
Right.
But like when a guy is smaller and faster, it's like more difficult because the guy can just, you know.
So you'd rather fight
quick.
I'd
rather fight heavyweight than damn.
So you'd rather fight Tim Kennedy than you'd rather fight Rampage and Tim Kennedy?
Yeah. Fuck yeah, because I'm faster, so that way, like, I can move my head, move out the way. Well, you know, and yeah, sure, it's more dangerous to fight a heavier guy, because if he does land something, it's like a doink, you know, and you could get knocked out. But the smaller guy can pick you apart, you know. It's like, I used to spar with a dude who was like a gold, like a Olympic, he was training for the Olympics, Olympic boxer. Dude was like 145, and bro, it was just like fighting up. A bumblebee. Yeah. It's like so annoying because yeah, I could get him with a good big one, but he could hit me with three and then move. You know, it's more difficult. Like, yeah. That's the interesting thing.
With wrestling, it was like the opposite. You always want to get lighter. You always think but then.
Well, but even jiu-jitsu too, it's easier to like scramble against a bigger guy.
Big, slow guy. Yeah. You want a big, strong, slow guy. More than like your weight.
Takedowns only, you're right. You. Takedowns only, it really helps to be bigger. But, you know, when you're scrambling around on the ground, there's
no. Is that because someone's neck, though, too? It's like, so it doesn't matter how big you are, if you get someone's neck, you get someone's neck.
There you go. Yeah.
You know,
something like
and
that.
It's easier to get
speaking
a big
of
guy's
which,
neck.
But before we go, so I don't know if you know this, but so Bo Nickel, who's a world champion wrestler, he's like basically the modern version of Ben Askren, but probably better.
Bo Nickel.
This guy wrestled for, I believe, Penn State. Big, tall, lengthy guy, 3-time NCAA national champion.
Bone Nickel. Bro, I'm liking this guy's name. Does he have a first name or is it just Bone Nickel?
Oh,
his name is Bone Nickel.
Yeah.
Oh, bro, Bone Nickel's, man, does, I hope he got that Twitter.
He does these weird things. Like, if we look up Bone Nickel NCAA finals, he does these things where you're just like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, he basically fly, like, this
he's
dude
a funk
had him,
wrestler.
Had him pinned, and he just like over under from the back threw the guy and pinned him. You're just
a
like,
beast.
You're just like, how is this happening?
Beast.
And then he says things like, "Oh, I do that all the time in practice."
Yeah.
But you let guys pin you, and like, so he is like right now the it guy in wrestling in the wrestling community.
How have I missed Bo Nickel? I go through the Reddit. Wrestling, you know, I guess I haven't seen him yet.
So he,
okay, I'm gonna research this guy and get back to you. Sounds like an awesome dude just from his name alone.
So he accepted a grappling match against
Gordon Ryan.
You know who Gordon Ryan is?
Faintly.
So he's now the number one, the world champion. I don't follow jiu-jitsu.
Just won ADCC's. He's 2-time ADCC gold medalist.
Okay.
IBJJF Worlds.
Fuck yeah.
He also does
for another beat,
and he doesn't look like the typical jiu-jitsu guy. Like, he's shredded, right? He's a big, like
230.
Looks like
athlete. All right, when is this going down? That sounds
They're having a grappling match.
Where?
December 7th, I think. And it'll be on Flow Grappling, but it's like a jiu-jitsu rules,
but
no leg locks.
Oh, okay.
But I don't see how Bo Nickel can win. Because he's not a jiu-jitsu guy.
What do you mean? Take the guy down, back out of his guard. Take the guy down. That's probably going to be the strategy. You know, when I coached guys who just know wrestling, we go, you're not going to do jiu-jitsu. You're going to make this a wrestling match.
Right.
That's the strategy. In practice, that's hard, especially against a top-level jiu-jitsu guy. It's going to be really difficult to avoid.
To just get out, back out of his guard.
It's hard.
When there's no strikes allowed.
Exactly.
But according to Gordon Ryan, right, they're going to have a wrestling match afterwards or something?
He said this something along the lines of, I understand that this is a very like jujitsu heavy rule set, so we're going to do another one.
You think?
We're going to do another one that's a wrestling heavy rule set.
Well, I don't.
But it's all like.
To me, it's like these MMA guys that want to go into boxing. Like, you're not going to win. Like, Masvidal called out Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah.
It's a money grab.
Tyron Woodley called out Alvarez.
Good. It's a money grab. Yeah, make some money.
Now, are they thinking, like, okay, it's basically a win-win because if I lose, I lose in this guy's skill set.
Yeah.
And if I win, I get $30 million.
No, so is that if you lose, you get $30 million.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't see any boxers. You know, if the dynamic were switched where, you know, the MMA, like if UFC would damn spread some money around and, like, you know, get Canelo Alvarez to do jiu-jitsu, I'd like to see him get double-legged through the ceiling and then fucking choked unconscious.
What happened with James Toney? Like,
yeah, exactly. Right. Jay, you know,
Mayorga.
That's what I'm saying. Guy. Because the skills don't translate. And it's the same thing. Like, if you spend your whole life boxing, you're going to be much better at boxing.
Of course.
You know, and for the, you know, MMA, look, MMA guys are fearless. They're not scared to box.
Right.
Do they have the skills to hang? Nah, probably not. You know, but I mean, if they're going to go make some money, hats off to them.
No, I get it. But even with this Bo Nickel thing, I'm like, where he's just going to make wrestlers look bad in some ways because he's probably going to get choked out pretty
quick.
Look
at Askren versus Maya. It's pretty much like the same scenario, dude.
Yeah. I mean, and as a wrestler, I want to see the wrestling guy win.
And Askren has a
See, you're so black racist,
yeah.
bro.
Yeah.
You're racist against jiu-jitsu guys.
Well, unless Bo is training jiu-jitsu, I don't see how he wins.
Hey, our cauliflower ears are just as earned.
Why wouldn't
okay?
he train jiu-jitsu?
Because he's a.
I'd be happy to help him out.
But he's a college champion. I mean,
he's going to train in jiu-jitsu.
For what, 2 months?
Yeah.
And he's going to do.
No, 2 months, 2 weeks. It's in like 2 weeks.
I mean, unless he's already training in jiu-jitsu, which I don't think he is.
Nah.
I don't know.
I went to like Penn State and wrestled with those guys. They just whooped my ass like pretty
you
good.
Did?
That's where
yeah.
he's from.
And then, oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I went to Lehigh up there and I wrestled with all the guys. And it was, I got a couple takedowns every once in a while, but like mostly I just got fucking demolished. But then at the end of practice, we did jiu-jitsu and I just strangled everybody. And it was, you know.
When was this in your life?
This is like, I don't know, 2010 or something.
So you were
like
going with like it was before like Phil Davis with those guys. It was after they
yeah,
had done.
It was yeah no it was they knew Phil, so it was like around that time, but he wasn't there.
Because I remember those two guys were hiding out in your house.
Yeah.
Pat Cummings.
yeah.
And Eric Bradley.
Yeah, yeah.
Were two guys that went to Penn State and they were national finalists. I mean, Pat, I think, came in second.
Yeah, they're
and
badasses. Then, yeah.
Badass guys. Eric Bradley was the best guy I've ever actually trained with. And like, I actually was like, I've never felt so helpless wrestling somebody before.
Yeah, he's a beast, yeah.
And the fact that he didn't make it very far in MMA is like, whoa. That was eye-opening.
He had a really tough time adjusting. You know what I mean? He had a tough time, like, he kind of was set in his ways. A lot of guys who come from wrestling, if you're set in your ways, yeah, it's difficult to adapt. Like, you have to, like, be relaxed, like, and understand to change your stance and, like, you know, become, like, evolve in a different way. But if you're stuck, like, this is the way I'm going to do my double leg.
Right.
It's going to be difficult to adapt and become a top MMA player.
So these two guys went back to Penn State, like alumni, and robbed a bunch of frat houses as a joke. Pat Cummings and Eric Bradley, not like two regular guys. So now they're on the run for the law and staying at Mayhem's house.
And like, not a bad place to stay at the time.
So I remember that, like, you were harboring fugitives.
Look, man.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what? I'm not going to make any excuses for my conduct, okay? But they were my buddies. They needed somewhere to stay.
Yeah, no, of course. Can we bring up Bo Nickel, NCAA Finals, Gage? Thanks for being so cool, by the way. So, because I want to show you this crazy sweep. So, all right, we're jumping around a little bit, but okay, here we go. I think this was it. Bo Nickel, Miles Martin. Yeah, right here. So he's number one guy. Watch this. So he could put on his back.
Yeah. See, there's where a butterfly.
Oh, that's totally a jiu-jitsu, bro.
Yeah, but that's really, that's like bad white
belt. I do that all the time, though.
That's in the NCAA finals.
Listen,
against
bro,
the number two guy in the world.
That wasn't,
country.
He wasn't even, in my in
I
my
do that
view,
all the time.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
I mean,
look,
you if go, he actually had the butterfly hook in, it would have worked a little better.
No, that worked just fine. He used his knee on his cock. It was perfect. But I mean, that guy was not expecting that. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that was insane. That wasn't impressive to you guys? To do that again, the NCAA?
To me, that looked like jiu-jitsu.
That's exactly what I would do.
I mean, it was impressive for sure. He had an underhook. He had like kind of a guillotine type position. Yeah. But because he had this underhook here, look, somebody broke this down. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I would call this a guillotine. But he has his underhook and guillotine, and then because he lands underneath him, the fulcrum is the guy's butt and his knee. So he like threw him up over. That was pretty awesome. Is it impressive to get this in such a top level wrestling?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Definitely. But right at the same time, you know, this is like very – a jiu-jitsu guy would have like sat back, sprawled out, and not fell for this. More than likely.
Yeah.
Top-level jiu-jitsu guy would –
they're just going to drop to their knees.
Like
when you feel that foot, I
always feel like when I'm rolling
knees.
With jiu-jitsu guys, my top pressure, they don't – is better than their top pressure because maybe
– yeah, but what I'm saying is –
Because your top pressure is just top pressure.
Yeah, if I feel
– there's no threat of submission or any – passing.
If I feel like a butterfly hook, which is this is kind of a modified butterfly hook. If I feel a modified butterfly hook, I like will bail out backwards and just flop. So that way I don't see his center of gravity, his hips are right over top of this butterfly hook. He expected to go around to the right and like end up, you know, he expected Bo to belly out.
Yeah.
Bo said, fuck that. I'm going to try this butterfly hook sweep, and it worked. I mean, whatever the hell he called it.
So you're saying the guy helped Bo by putting all that pressure?
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's what got him that move.
He didn't respond like a jiu-jitsu man. He responded like a wrestler.
Right.
You know,
right,
and that worked in his favor.
It's still,
you're right. It is a super impressive technique. But like I said, in jiu-jitsu, the guys are ready for this.
Right now, he's getting his back taken by Gordon Ryan, and he's going to get choked.
Exactly. And see how Martin is high right here? Why? There's no way. You'd be sprawling back if you're doing jiu-jitsu.
But I've seen wrestling kids do this, like middle school kids, like that kid last year, just basically not as technical as this, but not at this level, not the number two guy in the country. I mean, to me, that's like, I mean... That was insane. I mean, this guy's probably a 4-time state champion wrestler.
Yeah.
A 3-time finalist.
Yeah.
You know.
See, but like I said, jiu-jitsu man would never be butt high like this. Why?
Yeah.
Why? I'm not trying to get, you know.
If he knew what he was doing right now, he would be sprawling.
Yeah.
He'd be sprawling.
If he realized.
Right leg windshield wiping over his knees.
Yeah. It's one of those things where dudes are like, it's just a different. Like when a guy breaks the rules of conventional wrestling, see how he high kneed him?
That's impressive.
When a guy breaks the rules of conventional wrestling, you don't expect it. That's why these techniques are so beautiful. That's why we're talking about it, is because this guy broke the conventional rules of wrestling and did a technique
and
that just blew our head off.
But Bo Nichols says he planned this.
Yeah.
There's no way he planned this.
Yeah, he did.
When he felt that single leg happen, it was already done.
No, there's no way he went to his back on purpose.
Yes.
He got put on his back.
No, the guy,
dude.
No, he just knows this technique.
That's high level grappling.
You really think that Bo Nichol let this guy put him on his back?
I'm certain.
He didn't put him on his back. Bo Nichol sat down.
He didn't.
He sits down with
a
butterfly hook.
He got the 2-point takedown, the guy on top. He's not giving up a 2-point takedown to get him to take him.
No,
off.
He already fucked up, and the guy had him deep and was almost taking him down. So instead of just bailing out and flopping on his belly and giving up the two, he did this sit down butterfly hook technique. What are you not getting through your head? He didn't just pull this out of his ass. He practiced that move, and then when it came up, he did.
Did I do that every day?
So maybe he does do jiu-jitsu, Bo Nichol.
Well, he definitely does something similar.
I don't think he understands grappling more than he understands wrestling.
I don't think people are putting him on his back in wrestling practice.
They are. What do you mean? Look, when you wrestle a guy, like for me, like I would always work, even now. Like when I'm going with a guy who, you know, he's good, but he's not fucking awesome, I'll put myself in terrible positions.
Yeah.
And then work my way out.
Or the coach will put you in those positions. Like when we put like one guy has this, one guy has on his back, start wrestling. Yeah. It just, this guy is such a high level wrestler. It's hard to believe that he's getting in that position that often.
Well, I mean, but he's not going to practice every day and smashing everybody. He's working techniques. And I think the reason that he is such a high wrestler is because he works different stuff like this. He might let a guy who's not as good as old Martin right there to put him in a bad position and then get his, you know, work his way out of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so
yeah.
He definitely has trained that technique. He didn't just make it up on the spot.
Of course.
He definitely drilled that a bunch of times. And then when it came up in this match, he summoned it and made it happen.
It was very impressive. The place went ballistic.
Yeah, that was badass, yeah.
So let's talk about some of the – by the way, I felt bad. My man, first of all, James Krause won. Super happy for him. Mm-hmm. Oh, you got to leave?
I got to go.
All right. James Krause, by the way, is like one of these guys.
Stupid word.
He's out of Missouri. Just a great human being. Like, his sister or someone in his family has, like, kids that are, like, on drugs. Something happened. Someone was on drugs. He took them in. He's just a good human being. He's all one right. of those guys where I'm like, ah, I'd love to be like, I like James Krause. Yeah. But on the flip side, another guy who I really like, who Jared Gordon, who former heroin addict, hooked on drugs, then went some kind of injury. They put him on painkillers while he was under. Hooked on drugs again.
Damn.
Now in the UFC, was like 11-1 going into the UFC, and just got starched by
Charles Oliveira.
Charles Oliveira, which sucked.
Yeah. Mm.
But Oliveira then called out McGregor. Which,
he did?
Yeah, he's like, Conor McGregor. And I'm like, McGregor's not fighting you. Like,
yeah, well, everybody's trying to get some money.
Yeah,
you
but
though you can't blame them.
No, but at the same time, call out someone that you think that they're actually going to put you up against. Like, I don't see that.
He's 145, right? Oliveira?
I think he's 55.
55?
Yeah.
I think he deserves like a top tier opponent. Because he's on like a, 11 fight winning streak or something like that? All by knockout.
I'm like 11 fight, but yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, how are you going to hate on a guy for trying to, punch up?
Mm. Of course, I don't hate on him. I just think that realistically, McGregor, if he does come back, they're putting him up against a Nate Diaz trilogy fighter or a Khabib.
What is McGregor doing? Is he just spending some money, huh? He's just hanging out?
He's a guy that,
Is he saying he's going to fight again? Because,
according to Twitter.
Oh, great.
Can't wait to come back, and he's talking about Khabib and how much Khabib sucks and this and that. But Khabib killed him. I mean, beat him pretty bad.
I mean, yeah. But Khabib, I was thinking about it recently, and I think I'm on the Khabib hype train for sure. But I did see some glaring flaws in the striking. Everybody talks about his striking is good too. I think his striking complements his wrestling, which that's the smartest way to fight when you're such a dominant wrestler. But if he tries to, strike with if he ends up in a striking battle with McGregor, McGregor can win. Like, I don't think Khabib's striking is that developed really. It's just. Like I said, it's smart the way he punches in order to wrestle. But if he hangs out there too long, kind of an old Ronda Rousey kind of complex,
Well, I heard they were talking about Khabib Ferguson in March.
It's about time. I've been campaigning for that fight forever. Tony Ferguson needs to fight him.
Who do you think wins?
Oof. You know what? I'll say Ferguson. Ferguson has a way better shot than everyone's given Khabib. Given him. I think it definitely can happen.
But he gets hurt a lot in his fights. Ferguson.
Yeah.
He's one of these guys that gets hurt, comes back, gets hurt, comes back. If he gets hurt, will Khabib let him come back?
Yeah. You know what? That's a good, I want to see how things develop. Because if it really happens in March, I'm going to be excited. I'll be watching that one.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
It's about damn time.
Now, bare-knuckle boxing. You watch this?
No, I saw some highlights.
First of all, your ex-training partner is now the new champion.
Oh, yeah.
Joey Beltran.
Awesome.
Is the heavyweight champion of bare-knuckle boxing.
Well, makes sense.
He beat Chase Sherman, and he said this is the most important fight in his life. He was crying, and it was a great fight.
Beltran's awesome. I'm glad he's doing good, man. That's cool.
You guys used to spar together, right?
Yeah.
What was he like in sparring?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
He's a sparrer.
He's a sparrer. But I give him a lot. He said that he's always had something going on in his life, and not to make excuses, yada yada. But he really trained for this, and all the there were so many times that should we still do this? Should we quit? This and that. So good for him. He beat Chase Sherman. He's a good. And Jason Knight, who they call him Hick Diaz. This guy, there's a video of him beating up two guys in a bathroom stall that came out last week.
Hot.
I guess he said he was taking a piss. And someone was crying about his girlfriend, and he made a joke. And they came to the stall, and then he started punching these two guys.
Who's filming in a toilet? Like, what the hell kind of toilet is this guy hanging out at? Was it a webcam or something? Like,
One of the other guys that was like trying to punch him. He beat up two guys.
He was filming and punching. The guy only had one hand. The other guy's hand was on his dick, taking a piss.
The guy behind those two guys. Hick Diaz. So you know about this guy Artem Lobov?
Yeah, yeah.
So they call him the GOAT because he was like 14-14 in the UFC or MMA. Nice. And now he beat Paul Malignaggi in bare knuckle boxing.
Yeah, I remember. So he beat Lobov.
This was the rematch, and it was a good fight, but. Night one, and then afterwards, can we pull up the prayer session that happened? He held a prayer session in a bare knuckle boxing ring, which was my wife loved it because she's a big Christian. But the YouTube comments were fucking hilarious. Of like, yeah, Jesus sanctions guys to punch him without gloves. Like this is what God's all about. Like if you want to laugh, look at the bare knuckle boxing. So this was Jason Knight after he won, and I like Knight. He even says after he in the UFC partied too much and fucked around, had girlfriend problems, and so this is him after he wins against Lobov. All right, so.
Before we do that, let me borrow this for just a second. Everybody in here, if you will, take your hats off. I got to give this moment to God, so y'all give me a few seconds to say a little prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much. I'm telling you, you've been doing so many amazing things in my life. And thank you for everything. Thank you for letting me get in here and do my thing tonight. Thank you for letting us all get in here and do our thing. Everybody that got here safely, I ask that you please let them get home safely. I ask you everything in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hell yeah.
Well done, Jason. Talk about the how you...
Kicks ass. Hey, good for him. You know what I mean? Look, you can't... Look, you're laughing, but you can't... Look, this guy prays, you know, he like... has a special relationship with God.
Of course.
And this is his job.
Yeah.
This is what he does. It's a sport.
I love the guy.
Exactly.
He seems like a great guy.
He does. He does. I'm a big fan now. I'm a big fan. Praise Jesus. That's pretty awesome.
So, and then your boy, Johnny Bedford.
Oh, yeah.
He won. He's undefeated in bare knuckle boxing. He fought Crazy Horse.
Yeah.
Who changed the name to Felony.
I know. Good for Felony.
Yeah. 3 minutes. We got to go. All right. Yeah. But Felony, trolled him during the weigh-ins. He the whole time during the can we bring up felony Johnny Bedford weigh-in, and then Felony broke his hand during the fight and then quit. Second time he's 0-2 in bare knuckle boxing because
the first time he broke both of his hands.
Time he only broke one.
Damn.
So he's getting better. So this
I miss his old name, Crazy Horse.
Yeah. So this was the weigh-in between. Felony, and then he walked into the bare knuckle boxing with his jeans around his ankles.
Yeah.
And his shorts on.
Makes sense.
Into his fight. This dude's one of a kind.
It's like Beetlejuice from the Howard Stern Show.
He's, the thing about Crazy Horse is you're always going to get a show.
Can't miss these goals.
It might not be the show that you want to get.
It's called a moving target.
So this is Crazy Horse weighing in. And he, for some reason, I guess he's like streaming live. During the weigh-in.
Knowing
if all these kids wouldn't hear, I would get butt-ass naked, but...
146.0 pounds for Felony.
One of the greatest characters.
Too bad you weren't there to tell him to, like, put some clothes on, you know, if he was butt-naked.
Put your pants on! Quit swinging your pants.
Scroll a little faster.
I just like seeing Anthony Johnson all these... clips.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So him against Johnny. And then you were Bedford's coach, right? Nice guy, right?
Great guy, yeah.
I mean, he's a real tough guy, this kid.
Tough.
I mean, he's a guy you just don't want to fight. I think he's like a four-time state champ wrestler from Indiana. He's just a guy, like, so him and Crazy Horse or Felony, they definitely, like, Crazy Horse. He's taking pictures.
Once you get beat up, you're still
up, man. So, I don't know. I mean, this dude is—he's next. I don't know what he's saying. But Crazy Horse was actually doing really well. He was losing the fight, but he definitely fucked up Bedford's face.
Yeah.
I mean, he hits hard.
Yeah, I mean, but damn, if his hands are falling apart, you know, yeah. I mean, that's tough.
So here he is, turn his back on him, and like, you know, so this is that. So anyway, so that was that. This week, MVP is fighting coming up. You know, Michael Venom Page, ever heard of that guy? He's the guy that, like, you know, was the next big thing. He got knocked out by Diego Lima, which was a, but he won his last fight. And he has a new opponent. But yeah, so that was, that's this week in Bellator. And then coming up, quick predictions, Mayhem, real quick. For fights coming up, Overeem. Who's that guy Overeem's fighting? Undefeated guy?
He just won his fight like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He's like from Zimbabwe or some shit. Just a giant black dude. He's probably going to win.
Against Overeem?
Yeah.
Why?
He's going to land that one punch, and then, you know, Overeem's his chin is kind of...
But he's untested, though. He's untested. But on that card, actually, Overeem versus Rozenstruik is Cynthia Cavillo against Marina Rodriguez. Cavillo's a girl that was, her ex-boyfriend cheated on her. She went to get back in shape to take a fitness class.
Yeah,
and now she's 8-1 in the UFC. A little badass Mexican. Stefan Struve versus Ben Rothwell.
Oh, wow.
That's a good fight.
That is a good
fight. It's like a Bellator main event, but I'm still gonna I'm still gonna watch it. And then Tim Means versus Thiago Alves. That's a great fight. Another guy who went to jail. Bryce Mitchell's a guy who's 10-0. Who in his other job was like a driller and drilled his nutsack by accident, and then posted the picture on another guy. He's from Tennessee, I think, from the same place these guys are from, and then posted that. So yeah, so this
he needs a little prayer session.
So what do you got coming up, Joe?
You can go follow me on TikTok. I'm on TikTok now. My username.
Like 11-year-olds on that thing.
Hey man, that's the audience these days. It's the majority of consumers. My name is Hot Chin Action on TikTok. Hot Chin Action.
Can't wait to download that.
And then what else you got coming?
That's pretty much it right now.
Mayhem.
Bro, I mean, I'm gonna get on hotchinaction.com, whatever the hell it is. And yeah, bro, thanks for having me. It was a fantastic show.
It was.
I mean, it always is.
I'm at Miami Improv tomorrow night if this gets out by then. Then I'm at Comedy Key West. Key West, California, Key West, Florida, Thursday or Friday this week. And then I'm going to be December 6th at the Long Beach Laugh Factory, December 8th to the 14th in Las Vegas at the Strat. It's not called the Strat anymore. It's called the Strat at the LA Comedy Club at the Strat. The same week as Colby Covington versus Usman. Maybe I'll get two tickets and you'll come out there, Mayhem. But thank you guys. For listening to us. Thank you to Speedweed for putting this all together. And take care. Have a great week. Trap songs to trap. Don't trap. Tune in songs to hook them. Dorpotlan. Tada stotan. Dorpotamoro. Tada.